Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in a series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit. The message today is The Holy Spirit in the Gospels and the Book of Acts. It is October 16, 2022, and I'm Dr. Mary Craig. So let's pray.
Holy Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect, personal, perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. We thank you that he fulfilled all righteousness, even to dying to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. We thank you we brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, that by this reconciliation we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, and bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeated Satan and his kingdom publicly. We thank you, Lord God, for those in Christ who were chosen before the foundation of the world, and we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank you that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, out from among the dead, and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Almighty. Jesus Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords, God the Son, Son of God, ruler over the kings of this earth, and coming again in power and great glory. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth, guiding us into the truth. That he come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us and granting us wisdom for the days in which we live. We thank you that the Holy Spirit open our eyes to comprehend. We ask that the Holy Spirit open our eyes to comprehend, understand, and perceive what you have for us today. Open the eyes of our minds and open the eyes of our hearts to receive. Honor our desire to glorify you. We come before you in humility on bended knee with our heads bowed. We pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man which was created according to you, God, in true righteousness and holiness, that you would sanctify us by your word and by your Holy Spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. So for around 400 years, the Spirit of God remained silent. And then we have special revelation in a happening of profound importance. A young woman named Mary was found to be a child by the Holy Spirit. That child is Jesus, the Christ. And we call this event the Incarnation. John 1:1-3. From this point on, we have a marked, though sometimes brief, allusion to the Holy Spirit in every public book of the New Testament. The three exceptions are of a private and personal nature, namely Philemon and the second and third epistles of John. George Smeaton says, quote, all of the evangelists refer to the Holy Spirit in the connection with the birth, baptism, and temptation of our Lord. Of all the New Testament writers next to Paul, Luke most frequently reverts to it. There was no denial and no dispute at that time as to the divine personality of the Holy Spirit, unquote. That's George Smeaton, who wrote an excellent book on the Holy Spirit. What John the Baptist taught, what Jesus taught, and what the apostles taught concerning the Holy Spirit never brought opposition. The Messiah was known that he should be anointed with the Spirit. It was not doubted. The title Christ or Messiah means anointed one. The anointing on Christ was unique in nature and in degree. And we're going to read some about John the Baptist, about Elizabeth, Zacharias, and Simeon, and then about Christ.
Right from the top.
Where the line is on the left.
Jesus came having the fullness of the Spirit without measure. Luke 1:15-17. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." About Elizabeth, Zacharias, and Simeon. Luke 1:41-42, 67-75. Luke 2:25-27. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. About Christ, John 1:14-18, Matthew 3:11. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Matthew 3:11. "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire."
Jesus came having the fullness of the Spirit without measure. John 3:34-35. He is the dispenser of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer of those baptized in the Holy Spirit, and so he had to be an accepted mediator as well as a divine person. In fact, Jesus, God incarnate, is a divine person with a divine nature who took on a human nature in a human body. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit as rivers of living water, John 7:37-39. We might think of water as cleansing, but here Jesus speaks of it as quenching thirst. When we're thirsty for something, we are experiencing a misery until the pain is removed by something. We drink. We can drink some things and we just get a temporary relief, or we get more thirsty as a result. And that's, you know, kind of like Coca-Cola. You drink a Coca-Cola, and it really makes you more thirsty by design of the company. And years ago, they had a CEO of that company who understood, and he was very clever. He took the concept of being thirsty, and how God saw it, but I can think. And it was the way he wrote, and the advertising at the time made it like thirsty, like the Bible. And their objective was to bring this, not water, living water of Christ, to everybody in the world, but Coca-Cola was going to quench that thirst. All right, well, see, so we can drink some things and we just get temporary relief, or we get more thirsty as a result. Jesus offers living water that satisfies, John 4, verse 14. The water of life that Jesus offers not only satisfies, it overflows to others. The Holy Spirit is as a flowing river that quenches thirst and satisfies desires. Satisfaction. We find it in Christ alone and by the Holy Spirit only. The Holy Spirit gives life. He is our satisfaction as we are in Christ. Rest, peace, joy, and assurance result from the operation of the Holy Spirit. In John chapters 14 to 16, we find Jesus setting forth for his disciples and for the church, and for the church's instruction, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the mission of the Holy Spirit to guide into all truth and to apply the accomplished work of Christ in redemption. The Father sends the Holy Spirit in his name, John 14, 26, implying that the Holy Spirit had previously withdrawn in consequence of sin, but now on the ground of Christ's redemption work, the Holy Spirit would be sent by the Father for all the purposes of that redemption. Also, the Holy Spirit would likewise be given or proceed from Christ as well. The distinguishing characteristic of the Holy Spirit is procession. The fact that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and from the Son. Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit's work in conversion, and Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit's work on the mind of apostles and believers in general. Jesus speaks of sending the Holy Spirit, John 15, verse 26, of giving the Holy Spirit, John 7, verse 39, and John 14, verse 16, of breathing out the Holy Spirit, John 20, verse 22, and of kindling a fire on the earth, Luke 12, verse 49. It is the Holy Spirit who would remind the apostles what Christ had taught them. He would provide clear teaching and comprehension of what they did not know prior to Christ's death on the cross. He would be the superintending influence in the proclamation of the gospel, giving promises, comfort, and peace. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, glorifies Jesus. He revealed the divine will of God. And now we want to look at three levels of anointing.
Number one, from Luke 4:14 and then Luke 4:18-21, we discover that Jesus was anointed for the forming of his human nature and the enduing it with perfect wisdom and faultless holiness. And this was from Pink, page 20. A.W. Pink, page 20. Of the three levels of anointing, number two, Jesus was endowed by the Holy Spirit for the work he came to do. All of this fulfilled Isaiah 11, 2 and 3. 11, verse 2 and verse 3. Christ has the preeminence. Quote, in none but the mediator did all the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily. Colossians 2, 9. That's from Pink, page 20 again. Jesus came full of grace and truth, as in John 1, 14, more grace than in all created beings. And then level of anointing, three levels of anointing. Here's number three. Jesus was anointed with the authority to give the Holy Spirit as the culmination of his exaltation. Psalm 68:18. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train, and received gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. He was to be anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows, Psalm 45:7 and 8. Psalm 45:6 and 7. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. The Holy Spirit rested upon Jesus without measure. Isaiah 61. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of joy. Now, Hebrews 1, 1-4, and also verse 9. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited, is more excellent than theirs. But of the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. This was the third decree of Christ's anointing. He is exalted and reigns supreme. Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says it. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. The promise of the Father, procured by the redemptive work of Christ, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes where the blood is applied. Leviticus 14, 14 and 17. Verses 14 and 17, the oil was placed upon the blood. Jesus Christ effected redemption. The Holy Spirit reveals and applies it to all for whom redemption was purchased. The Holy Spirit comes where the blood is applied.
Finally, the scriptures affirm that Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit, Acts 10:38, that he was led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, that he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit to begin public ministry, that he performed miracles by the Holy Spirit, that he gave commandments by the Holy Spirit to his disciples whom he had chosen, Acts 1, verse 2. The two natures of Christ, divine and human, concurred in every mediatorial act. Jesus assumed human nature in union with his divine nature. As a divine person, unmixed or unconfused, without separation, without change, without division, one is saved by the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit. Jesus Christ accomplishing all that was necessary and sufficient to bring one back to the Father through his life of perfect personal perpetual obedience and his being sin-bearer, curse-bearer, and bearer of the wrath of God. In his death, Christ paid the penalty for sin and satisfied divine justice. He merited eternal life for his own. His resurrection, being proof that the Father accepted the redemptive work of the Son on behalf of those for whom he died. His resurrection, that's correct. Exalted, the Father gives the Holy Spirit through the Son by the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit applies the finished work of Christ to the elect from every tribe and tongue and people group and kindred. As part of God's eternal plan, from the first entrance of sin, God promised the sending of his Son, who would obey and die and save. The Holy Spirit makes that work effectual. Both came from heaven, being sent. The Father sent Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit. Both from, you know, to earth or wherever, everywhere, anywhere you go, Psalm 139, no one can hide from the Spirit of God. Both can be seen in the Old Testament. Both have prophecies about their advents. Both came accompanied by very visibly glorious signs and wonders. Psalm 68:18, Joel 2, verse 28, Ezekiel 36:26, for example, and Isaiah 7, verse 14, as another example. At Pentecost, the new wine of the Holy Spirit bursts the old wine of Judaism. New wine is not to be put into old wineskins. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit inaugurated a new era, a new power for righteousness, and a new basis of fellowship. A new covenant is being established as promised, and everything in this new covenant is better. The Holy Spirit was not first given at Pentecost, according to Nehemiah 9, verse 20, and Haggai 2, verse 5. But the Spirit's advent, as recorded in the book of Acts, marks the fulfillment of divine promise, as in Proverbs 1, 23, Joel 2, 28, Luke 3, verse 15 and 16, Acts 2, verses 32 and 33. We discover something about Jesus' faith from John 15, verse 26, and John 16, verse 7. Jesus' faith resulted in the fulfillment of Jesus' promise. Quote, and I will send, dot, 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 unquote, and I will send. Jesus Christ is our Passover. Jesus is Christ, our Passover lamb, Exodus 12. He fulfilled the feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, and the wave sheaf, or first fruits of the harvest. And you can read, it's kind of interesting. I know people go, oh, Leviticus. But it's kind of interesting to read. Leviticus 23, verses 4 to 11, and 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. In fact, it doesn't hurt to read all of Leviticus. All the words are in red, meaning that all the words in Leviticus, it's God speaking. Okay? For there are a few Bibles where the words of God are in red in the Old Testament. Okay, Leviticus 23, 4 through 11, 1 Corinthians 15, 23. We learn about the fourth feast from passages like Exodus 34, verse 22, Deuteronomy 16, verse 10, and Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16. The Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, required presenting unto God two wave loaves, the first fruits unto the Lord. That's Leviticus 23, verse 17. The ingathering. Israel was required to offer a new meal offering unto the Lord, Leviticus 23, verse 16. The first loaf represented those redeemed among the Jews, and the second anticipated the ingathering of God's elect from among the Gentiles, or the nations. Pentecost ushers in something new, the giving of the Holy Spirit who gives the life the law cannot give. Remember, the law cannot give life. The law cannot give life. It is a standard that shows us what is, that we can distinguish what is holy and what is not holy, what is clean and what is not clean, what is alive and what is dead, and things like that. It shows us the standard of God. And it serves, and there it is. So it cannot give life. Only the Holy Spirit gives life. And then you can look at Acts 2, verse 1 and following. Tongues like as a fire accompany the advent of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And you can also reference Genesis 15, verse 17, Exodus 3, verse 2, Exodus 13, verse 21. The dividing of tongues in judgment in Genesis 11 is now cloven tongues in grace.
Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb."
From Acts 2, verses 1 to 13, we can identify three outward marks of the Holy Spirit's coming. The purpose of the Spirit's coming includes witnessing to Christ's exaltation, furthering Christ's cause, and empowering Christ's servants. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Father, the promise of the Father, the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit is God. Relationship with Him in our lives is to be guarded and cherished as He guides us into truth and works in us to sanctify us and conform us to the image of Christ.
Acts 2, verses 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine."
Amen. All right. And now we are going to pray. Holy Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. And we thank you, Lord God, for Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, this was your eternal plan, and you are the sovereign God. And so we ask today, may we not go back, but rather press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. May we be filled with the Holy Spirit. May we heed what Paul says in Ephesians 5:15-21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Amen. And we bring this before you, Lord. May it be so by your Holy Spirit empowering. In Jesus' name, amen. And now if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of the peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.